Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Right, Aroni, the flavor can't you eat? One pan, no boiling, cooking ease.
A flavor that is sure to please.
The Egyptian government must fulfill the promise it has made to its people and to the entire world by giving its citizens the freedom to choose. Egypt's elections, including the parliamentary elections, must meet objective standards that define every free election. Opposition groups must be free to assemble and to participate and to speak to the media. Voting should occur without violence or intimidation.
Well, there it is. CFR plus Rockefeller plus Illuminati plus Bilderberg plus Kissinger plus Bohemian Grove plus Federal Reserve equals Obama, Bush, Romney, Rice, just add water. Let's go back to the new selection here on the Savage Nation. You'll know what I think of it. Yeah, CFR plus Rockefeller plus Illuminati plus Bilderberg plus Kissinger plus Bohemian Grove plus Federal Reserve equals Obama, Bush, Romney, Rice, just add water. You get the joke? No, okay, forget about it. I'm talking to... So the latest headline is ABC News says Romney demands Obama's apology, says he's not responsible for post-1999 Bain activity. First of all, it's true. Even CNN acknowledged that he's not responsible for it, but he's made a mistake. Once again, his team is idiotic, amateurish. He's playing their game. Again, Romney is playing defense. Instead of attacking Obama where he's weak, which is on about 10 different fronts, he's playing, oh, you played wrong. You're accusing me of something. So he's bringing Bain up, and he's going for the bait, saying, I didn't do it. So Obama says, did you stop beating your wife? And he says, I really never beat my wife. Meanwhile, the issue of whether or not he beat his wife is still in the news. Instead of going on the attack, he goes on the defense. Once again, a mistake. So that leads to the next question on the Savage Nation. A, it's open mic to mic. B, it's Friday. C, Condoleezza Rice. Now, I spoke to the smartest woman in the world who said she's a good choice. I said, why is she a good choice? She said, because she's not a threatening woman. She's not a you-know-what. She's not one of those emasculating, you know, a kind of woman who makes women hate her. Rice, she said, is the kind of woman who women like because she's a polite, decent person. Well, I said, what about the social conservative issues? You know, the abortion issue. How about the fact that she has not come out on the Ryan budget's cuts? She's never run for anything. How about her foreign policy views, which I just played for you on the Savage Nation from 2005, where she was calling for free elections in Egypt, which, as you know now, has resulted in the Muslim Brotherhood coming to power, which we blamed Obama for. But that's why I gave you my little syllogy. CFR plus Rockefeller plus Illuminati plus Bilderberg plus Kissinger plus Bohemian Grove plus Federal Reserve equals Obama, Bush, Romney, Rice. Just add water. What's the difference? So it wouldn't have mattered who was the president. They all wanted, what, the Islamists in power? Now, either they knew this would happen, or they're so stupid or so drugged, they don't even know what they're doing. Is it possible that the stupidest people on earth are running the world? Is it possible that some of the dumbest people on the planet are in power? Is it possible that a plumber from Omaha would be smarter than, pick someone out of the hat, Geithner? I would guarantee you an accountant from New York City could do a better job with the Federal Reserve and with... He's the kind of kid no one picked for the basketball team. He's the kind of kid nobody picked for the Little League team. He's the kind of kid that they kicked sand in his face. And look where he is today, ruining the world's economy. But let's stick to the issue here. Condoleezza Rice. I'm sure she's a fine person, and I'm not here to, you know, bash her. But is she the best choice? She's a woman, and she's African-American. Okay, dare I say, that's why she was picked? There's no other reason. Woman, African-American. Where's the conservative in it? Where's the meat? Where's the meat in the beef burger? Where's the meat in the Republican burger? Where is the cheese and the meat in the burger? This is not even a vegetarian burger. This is two pieces of white bread with lettuce in between. So what is he going to win? 14 votes of African Americans who weren't sure, 12 women who were going to wobble over who weren't going to vote for him, and 13 independents. This is crazy. So who would I have picked? Jan Brewer. Why? I like meat and cheese on my burger. If I'm going to go to a burger stand, I'm not going there for a health food meal. If I'm going to go to Burger King once in a blue moon, I'm going to get the burger. And I'm going to get the good burger. And I want beef on the burger. I didn't order the veggie burger at Burger King. I didn't go there for a health food snack. I want beef on the ticket. There is no beef on the ticket. How do you feel about Condoleezza Rice Aroni? You know how I feel about it. It's a mistake. It's another tepid error. Now look, please don't get me wrong. I have nothing against the woman. I think she's a fine person, educated well. She had a high policy position, but I was not proud of her. I wasn't impressed with her when she was NSA chief and the Secretary of State. I didn't think she did a very good job. And for me to find a speech that I just played for you is gold for you. If you listen to the show, you realize no one else has this. And the fact is, here I have her in the year 2005 calling for free elections in Egypt. So what Obama enacted with the Arab Spring was actually a policy laid down by the Council on Foreign Relations for the practitioners of their policies to enact. And that would include Obama, that would include Bush, that would include Romney, that would include Rice. CFR, plus Rockefeller, plus Illuminati, plus Bilderberg, plus Kissinger, plus Bohemian Grove, plus Federal Reserve, equals Groucho Marx. Just add water. I just went down to Starbucks before the show to nail myself up for the cross. I had to get the nails, I had to get the hammer. In fact, I needed it so badly, I got the nail gun. I got the caffeine and sugar nail gun for this show. I went down to Starbucks, and I asked for my usual. A small coffee, I brought my own cup. I don't like styrofoam or plastic, whatever they give it in. So I get it. And I asked for the fruit cup. He said, we're out of it. I said, thank God, give me the oatmeal cookie. Gave me the oatmeal cookie, very bad for my blood sugar. The doctor will kill me. Before I even filled up the cup, I was eating the cookie. But the fact of the matter is, I needed the fuel. So I'm armed to the teeth right now. I'm armed for Armageddon on the Savage Nation. I am so high on caffeine and sugar. I am so jammed up on oatmeal cookie and cholesterol and butter. And I can prove it. My left leg went out on the way back up in the elevator. Immediately, I reacted to the dairy. But that's the price I pay for you. So as I crucify myself today on the Savage Nation with exposure, with making more enemies than I can possibly deal with in 14 lifetimes simply by saying, hello, infidels, I am here for you. We're going to have a big story for you soon on the WorldNet Daily site on Monday that you must keep looking for. It'll be on michaelsavage.com, exclusive to WND. If you care to talk about Open Mic to Mike Friday, meaning any topic is fair game, you know. And so as I'm coming back up to the studio in the elevator here to do my show, I'm slurping the coffee. I already devoured the cookie before I hit the elevator. I eat them once a month, but the leg goes out immediately from the butter, the dairy. Instantly, I can feel it. It's like I cheated in New York and had pizza on like 81st Street and 1st Avenue. Unbelievable. My God, it was so good. It was so good. The dough was better. Maybe it's the tum water from the Hudson River. I don't really know. But the pizza was certainly better than the best pizza I ever had in my life, by the way, was years ago in Marblehead, Massachusetts, made by Greeks, incidentally. Don't call me about pizza. I won't take your call. The point is I ate the pizza. I knew what would happen. I hobbled home. Within 5 minutes, my right leg went out. Why? I react to dairy. I don't eat it because I know there's going to be a reaction. But why is it that everything that we know is everything we love does something bad to us? Why? Nothing changes. Nothing's new under the sun. Nothing is new under the sun. When I was a kid, there were finished basements in Queens in the houses, right? Finished basement. Meaning if you were not as rich as the guy next to you, you had an unfinished basement. It was dank, it was dark, it was horrible. All you did was hang laundry in it and chase the mice. But if you were rich, you paneled it with knotty pine, you put in a fake bar. You had Seagram's Royal, you had Crown Royal, and four little bottles of whiskey to show you are really wild, you know. But they had signs behind the bar, little sayings, and one of them was, "Why everything I like is illegal, immoral, or fattening." As a kid, I didn't know what that meant, because I didn't do anything illegal, I didn't do anything immoral, and I didn't do anything that was fattening. But now that I'm a man, I see the wisdom in that sign. Symbol shot, bang. 1-800, I'm not feeling bad. I hope you're feeling good. What should I do? This is it. This is it. This is the shot. This is life. Deal with the deck of cards. You got the deck. You got the four aces, or you got the four bad aces. You got the four bad hands. The other guy has the good hand. You have the bad hand. Keep playing cards. Keep playing cards. That's the whole game. Eventually, you're going to win. The odds are in your favor. If you're right and they're wrong, if you're the little guy and they're the big guy, you'll beat their behind. 1-800-449-8255. Romney meets the press. 5 interviews, not the Savage Nation. Wants nothing to do with any conservatives. Yes. Mock conservatives, yes. Faux conservatives, yes. Yes. Plastered over, stuccoed conservatives, yes. Conservative on the outside and rotting wood on the inside, yes. But the actual conservative base need not apply. Now, why Noonan would say that it might be a brilliant choice with Rice is understandable, because she's a brilliant but establishment gal. I don't think it's a brilliant choice. I have nothing against Condoleezza Rice. She's not going to bring in any momentum. You want to talk momentum? You bring in Jan Brewer. You bring in Hush. You don't bring in Slush. I'll be right back.
Savage.
It is the Savage Nation. Now, we're talking about rice. We really should be talking about corn. And the reason I say that is, yeah, did he pick rice? But this is almost a trivial question, when the fact of the matter is that corn, soybeans, and wheat prices are soaring through the roof. Big deal. It's a big, big deal. We should be talking about corn, not rice. See, the U.S. supplies the world with food. Still, you don't know that. It's one of our greatest exports. But hush, hush, don't tell Obama that. He's liable to ban the production of corn, soybeans, and wheat, because they might be seen as racist. But corn, soybeans, and wheat grown in America accounts for 1 in every 3 tons of the staple grains traded on the global market. We still feed the world. But don't tell that to the rest of the world who would like to put us into the river. Do you know that the prices for this year's corn crop have jumped 44% in a month? Wheat rallied 45% and soybeans are up 17%. Why? Why? You've had a drought. You've had great heat. You've had drought, right? But the fact of the matter is, if hunger starts to hit the third world, you could have social and political ramifications that are astronomical. In addition, corn and soybeans feed animals. They produce ethanol or make cooking oil. So I don't want to, you know, get into the technical details of this, nor am I suggesting you go buy corn futures. But the fact of the matter is, you know, food inflation prices could wipe the world into a whole new, push the world into a whole new world. I don't think the alarm bells need to be rung yet. But the fact of the matter is, everyone in the business knows that there's very low inventory of these crops. That's why I say we're talking about rice when we should be talking about corn. So I'll take your calls on rice or corn right now on the Savage Nation, 1-800-449-8255. The focus question is, how do you feel about Romney possibly picking rice as opposed to corn? 1-800-449-8255, Cameron in New York on WOR. Go ahead, please.
Hey, it's as easy as ABC, Mike. Anybody but Condoleezza. Now, if he picks her, and you might want to bring Jekyll Island into your recipe. And how dare you go for a hamburger with cheese? By the way, you're a pretty macho guy.
Well, no, I don't eat cheese. I'm just saying I ate a cookie which has dairy, and my leg went out. But I have tremendous energy for the show. But tell me why you don't like Condoleezza Rice as a pick.
Well, for the same reason with any as anybody with any brains or any information, she's never run for office. She's never been elected. You know, what about Suzanne Martinez, this Hispanic chick from New Mexico? I mean, there.
I disagree. I think she would be a deficit for Romney. I believe Jan Brewer is a more certainly well-known quantity compared to this Martinez lady, who's a great lady in New Mexico. I know who she is. But I think Jan Brewer, I call her Hush, because she hushed up Obama on the tarmac, remember?
Well, we can agree that anybody but Condoleezza, we're in agreement
on
that.
Let's put it this way. Condoleezza is a social and political liberal. Is that what we're saying?
If he goes for her...
All right, no answer. I move on. Unless it's a dialogue and it's a regular. First rule of talk radio, no regulars. It starts to sound like two-way radio. So let's take the next caller out of my hometown of not San Francisco. By the way, I was here on the way to the studio. They were digging a ditch nearby. I heard noise. Blow your eardrums out. Jackhammer. I look over. There are eight men with hard hats and yellow thing. There's one guy actually running the pneumatic drill. One guy immediately over him supervising the pneumatic drill. 10 feet away to his right is another man watching the two men. With one man with the drill and one man watching the drill. To his left, there are three people dispersed from the city. One of them is watching the other seven. The second one was watching the other six. The third one was watching the other five. So far as I can tell, they were doing nothing. And you wonder why San Francisco and every other city in the country is bankrupt. Sacramento, Levi. You don't have to be Jewish to love Levi's. What's on your mind?
I was calling about the Bohemian Grove. I heard you talking about that earlier today, and I know a little bit of stuff about it, but I was wondering what you know about it.
I've never been invited, frankly, nor do I know if I would attend. I don't think I have the clothing to go, because you have to go there naked.
Yeah, I heard all the stories.
No, people don't even know. What is the Bohemian Grove? It's all of apparently wealthy, powerful people who get together and run naked in the woods. What do I know? Well, what do they do there that's different than what you would do if you had a place in the country? You think, what is it, like the Yale Skull and Bones there? They do a secret ritual with skulls?
Yeah.
And
yeah, they have this giant owl, which dates back to like Greek times, like not the statue itself, but the,
well,
the owl.
Look, my allusion to the Bohemian Grove in reference to Condoleezza Rice is that it's the establishment that is picking her. That's basically what my contention is. Do you agree with that?
Yeah.
Well, that's all we need to know. The rest of it is, you know, who cares what they do naked in the woods? I am a sexual libertarian. I really don't care. Truthfully, as long as children are involved, they're adults, and it's consensual. Leave me out of it. I wouldn't go if they invited me.
Seven.
Walter Winchell of the New York Daily Mirror and the Washington Post.
Mr. and Mrs. North and South American, all the ships at sea, let's go to press.
Yeah, let's go back to the mess that I've been talking about. Let's go back to the mess. 1-800-449-8255. There's so many things to talk about. Well, here's a news update. Several weeks ago, a bigwig in the human rights community in San Francisco was arrested on suspicion of possessing child pornography, including that of infants. His name, Larry Brinken. Thus far, there has been no follow-up. The district attorney of the city of San Francisco has not yet followed up with charges against a good friend, 66-year-old Larry Brinken, who had been arrested based upon evidence that had been collected by the Los Angeles Police Department and sent to the San Francisco Police Department. Apparently, the radical left-wing human rights community in San Francisco was shocked, just shocked, I tell you, that Mr. Larry Brinken would have been arrested. The fact of the matter is, this is very unusual that Brinken, a community icon who led the fight for the city of San Francisco to recognize same-sex partnerships, had been arrested over the weekend. He posted $70,000 bail, but as of right now, there has been no follow-up from the city of San Francisco nor from the FBI. Larry Brinken, still out there, still walking the streets, still no trial. The spokeswoman called this show several weeks ago and said that they're examining the computers. There's no timetable for indictment. They've been stalling now for almost 25 days. You hear this? You hear? You hear the world you're living in? Now let's go to the next mess. Where did the $5.8 billion go, Mr. Obama? Why no indictment? Now we learn that Jamie Dimon, who was dragged before Congress again today, raised the amount of money missing on some bad bets from about $2 or $3 billion to $5.8 billion. No one has been indicted. Now, let me remind you of something. Let me remind you that basic math tells you that when a big bank claims that one of its divisions gambled on something and lost $6 billion, the money wasn't lost. It didn't disappear. It didn't evaporate. It didn't go to the moon. Somebody made that money. Who made that money? Where did the money go? Why is Congress that lame that they don't even investigate this? This is common knowledge. $6 billion that disappears does not disappear. It goes somewhere. How much of it goes back upstairs to the top? Ladies and gentlemen, that's why I say let's go to mess. Let's take the callers. 1-800-449-8255. Any topic is fair game. Rice is the big issue. The issue should really be corn. New York, Vinny, you're on the Savage Nation from WOR. Go ahead, please.
Michael, it's a pleasure. You know, I'd really like to see the Republican Party move away from the Bush administration and bring in real conservatives and real Republicans that they're strong on the border, that they won't take us into these foreign adventures and going into all these countries, and somebody who's going to provide hope. Because I'll tell you, after 3.5 years of this guy and 8 years of Bush, boy, do we really need somebody who's really going to help and who's really going
to
provide.
Well, it's all an establishment pick. This is the problem. I mean, I'm a little jaundiced on the whole establishment game because I've been calling them Democrats or Republicrats since I began a radio in 2004. I don't see much of a difference on some levels, but however, let's not get carried away. If it wasn't for some good Republicans, we'd be living in a South American dictatorship right now. There are people who see this crypto-Marxist administration for what it is. The fact of the matter is, if Obama was not checked, this country would be over by now. Taxes would be 75 or 80% on the true productive class, and the non-productive class would be 30% larger than it is today. On that basis alone, we couldn't survive. Greece would be nothing compared to what would go on in this country if Obama had not been checked by his narcissistic desire to be president again. So, you know, you have to count your blessings. And as meek as Romney is, he's the best thing we have. However, I think that the Rice choice is a neutral one. I don't think it's going to add very much to the ticket. I don't think it's going to bring in too many people who wouldn't have voted for him anyway. And that's what I think a vice president should have done. A pick that would excite the base, for example. And you say, well, there is nobody. That's not true. There are several people come to mind. You want me to give you two? Jan Brewer. You don't know who she is? She is the governor of Arizona. She stood up to Obama on the tarmac. Remember, he tried to stare her down? She wouldn't take it. She's a tough lady. She's smart. Another great choice, Lieutenant Colonel Alan West, congressman from Florida. To me, he's a hero. I don't care what the rat left say about him. I don't care what the drug addicts in the Democrat Party say about him. I care that what matters to me is that I know what he is. He's an American hero. He's as good as it gets. He's a true American. Why not pick him? Why? Because the Romney campaign management team is risk averse and controversy averse, and they think by running to the center they're going to win. I hope they're right, but I think they're wrong. It's that simple. And I'm going to give you another example of why they're making another mistake, and I'll give it to you again. Headline is about Bain again. The Obama smear team comes up with this lie about Bain Capital being bad, right? Romney demands an apology, says president. His statements are reckless and absurd, deceptive and dishonest, and he demands an apology from Obama. Meanwhile, we're still talking about Bain Capital as though it's a bad thing. So again, he's fallen into the trap of the opposition. He's saying, well, I didn't beat my wife when I was at Bain Capital. He should be saying, that's a joke, Obama. Look what you did with Solyndra. Where'd all of that money go with Solyndra? What about all of those highways to nowhere, Mr. Obama? Where'd the $1 trillion in stimulus money go, Mr. Obama? Why did you destroy NASA, Mr. Obama? Why even downsize the military, Mr. Obama? Tell us about the 22 dead Navy SEALs. Who put them on the helicopter, Mr. Obama? I mean, you can go on and on with 20 different things instead of saying, no, I was a good guy at Bain. So you made a mistake. This is common sense. But then again, I grew up in a different place. I was a poor kid. He was a rich kid. I was a short kid. He was a tall kid. He was a white kid. I was a bright kid. You want me to go down the list and do the syllogy and do a thing on you? I'm not going to do it. The fact is I learned to talk fast and smart very young, or I wouldn't have survived past the first grade. I had to learn to be fast, and I had to learn to be quick on my feet, or I would have been pummeled to death in the bathroom at PS48. The fact is that Romney inherited his wealth. Nothing wrong with that. I hope some of my descendants get to inherit my wealth, that it's not confiscated by the communist in the White House. 1-800-449-8255. MichaelSavage.com. Obama is a crypto-Marxist. The administration is criminal. This is a gangster regime. It's terrifying to believe this man could win again. And I pray to God Romney does himself a favor and gets rid of his idiotic advisors. They're amateurs. They're making the same mistakes they made for John McCain. I'm not the only one saying it. I said it first. I'll say it last. Even Donald Trump said the same thing. Get rid of the amateurs and get some people to know what's really going on. These guys are all in a bell jar. They're in a bubble. They come from the same world. They were all born rich. They're all white. They're all rich. And they don't even understand what's going on down in the street. And that is the problem. Nothing wrong with being white or rich. But I'm telling you, this is a much bigger world than the world that they live in. Austin, Texas, Thomas, your opinion counts. You're on the Savage Nation.
What's really dangerous about the Obama administration and the left is how they parse words. You said it a few weeks ago. They're very good and they're very calculated at parsing words. They replace things like insurance coverage for a different phrase, which is health care. And they replace other words like they use the word racism where it shouldn't be used, where it's just racial prejudice. I can't be a racist because I don't have institutional control over anybody. That's the definition. But when they own those words, they control the argument and they win. Just like what you just said about Bain Capital. They
yes.
own the argument because he's
yes.
so weak.
Because Obama is and his team are more devious. They're more street savvy. The Romney team is not even aware of the fact that they fell into a trap again by demanding an apology they've fed into the debate over Bain Capital, which should have been gone by now. The issue should be Solyndra. The issue should be all of the other scandals surrounding Obama rather than this made-up scandal about Romney. But this is the problem. I want to ask you something, those of you listening to the Savage Nation. I am going to read you something, and I want you to tell me whether you agree with it or not. Do you think that Obama is actively creating a populace ever more dependent on the federal government for welfare, health care, food stamps, and unemployment? Yes or no? Do you think that in the country we live in under Obama, success is punished? Under the guise of fairness, the president has openly declared war on those who have worked hard all their lives to achieve the American dream? Yes or no? Do you believe under Obama our worst enemies are praised but our allies are stiffed? Do you believe that he treats radical Islamists in the Middle East like friends while stiffing Israel and Western European allies? Yes or no? Do you believe that he has used the military as a pawn? Do you believe that Obama has made a show of using proud Navy SEALs as a publicity stunt while shrinking the overall strength of the military? Yes or no? Do you believe that our border with Mexico has descended into chaos under this crypto-Marxist regime? While his Fast and Furious program weaponized the border, Obama has attacked the states for firmly enforcing immigration laws? Yes or no? Do you believe that certain corporations and cronies of his have run off with all the wealth, while the economy has flatlined and Obama has rewarded his most deep-pocketed campaign donors and allies with fat grants and contracts? If you check yes to one or all of those statements, then you agree with Michael Savage that you are welcome to the newly created Union of Socialist States of America. And that is exactly what I've described in immense detail in my great book, Trickle Down Tyranny, which is the one book you need to stop this emerging dictatorship before we all lose all of our constitutional God-given rights. The 300 pages that I wrote you show you the most dangerous laws and power grabs of the Obama regime and what we can do to stop this leftist gang from seizing another term in office. I rest my case. I only wish to God that every listener who bought that book goes out and buys one more copy and gives it to someone in their family or in their social circle who doesn't see the danger that we are in. Period, end of story. My biggest dream would be that Romney would actually read the book, or one of his brilliant sons would read Trickle Down Tyranny and say, "Holy God, Dad, that guy Savage is really smart. He knows what he's talking about, Dad." Or, "Holy God, Dad, let's stop with the malarkey. We're in trouble, Dad." But no, they're not doing it. Instead of talking about Bain, we should be talking about Obama running guns to Mexico. Why is that not the issue? Why did Romney demand an Obama apology instead of going in the attack and saying, Mr. President, tell us about what role you may or may not have played in running guns to Mexico to drug cartels? Why did you exert executive powers in order to hide the documents involved? See, this is the whole problem. This is the problem. He's not being advised properly. God save this country from him. If this happens again, all bets are off. You can see the man. You can see his face. You could see that the man is arrogant. You could see he's dictatorial. You could see he's got dictator written all over his persona. And moreover, you don't have to believe that you can see this. Just look at what he's done. Take a look at what he's done. He hid the documents on Fast and Furious. What is he hiding? Who is he covering for? What did he know about the guns going to Mexico and when? Why is that not the issue? So I've made my point. You understand. Miami, Florida. Scott, welcome to the program. What's on your mind?
Yeah, hi, Dr. Savage. Great pleasure to talk with you. Just moved down to Miami from Arizona. I'm going to grad school down here. Just wanted to talk about the VP ticket there. I love Jan Brewer. I love everything she did for the state while I was living there in Arizona. But I think that Condoleezza Rice is a safer ticket bet because of the job that the media will, how much they'll crucify Jan Brewer if she gets on there, and they'll do.
You see, but hold it. But that's the problem. But that's why Romney's going to lose. He's afraid of the vermin in the media. Why should he be afraid of these drug addicted communists?
Yeah.
Wait a minute. Let me stop. Why must we be thinking and looking over our shoulder at a bunch of drug-addicted communists who have an iPad and they publish it in a newspaper? Who gives a rat's behind what they think? We know they hate the country. We know they're anti-family. We know they're anti-God. We know they're anti-borders. They're anti-language, anti-culture. They stand for everything destructive. Who cares what the rats in the media think? It's time to stand up and tell them what you think. I disagree with you. Choose Jan Brewer, Mr. Romney. Stop running scared. I'll be right back.
Savage.
So, just in case some of your friends or neighbors or, you know, Uncle Jim, who's a little stubborn and been watching Fox News, and, you know, he thinks that somehow I raise taxes. Let's just be clear. We've lowered taxes for middle-class families since I came into office.
Liar, liar, pants on fire. Look how he gets away with it because Romney won't go on the attack. Welcome back to the Savage Nation. Now, I want you to hear what's going on in the streets. Here's a crowd in Chicago of socialists chanting the following: disarm the police, free Palestine, and free abortions on demand. Now, listen to the linkage here. Anti-police, anti-Israel, and free abortions. Listen to clip 9. Radical lesbians in favor of the Intifada? Why are the radical feminists, the radical lesbians, associated with the Intifada? Why? Does anyone have an answer to this? Can anyone understand the insanity of this? Do they know what the Intifada is? Do they understand what Islam is due to homosexuals? Do they have any idea this is insanity? What kind of country do we live in that a street crowd would be screaming, disarm the police, free, free Palestine, long live the Intifada, and free abortions on demand? What do free abortions have to do with the Intifada? They're polar opposites. They're socially polar opposite. So, we're living in insane times. We have politicians talking in monosyllables when the society is crumbling. And that's why I say these are very dangerous times. Then you've got the president going up there and joking about relatives who are stubborn like Uncle Jim for watching Fox News. And he gets away with it because Romney's still taking the defense instead of the offense. I rest my case. Let's go to the callers. Arizona, Linda, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Dr. Savage, it's an honor to speak with you. I know we've been incensed lately, and I'm with you. I'm calling from the Mexican-Arizona border. And I know one of the great things about Jan Brewer is you've got to wonder who could actually buy her. But I think we're going to really be upset if we get another 4 years of Obama. And we've got to think of how to get the Hispanic vote. I'm bilingual, born in another country.
Wait a minute. You're telling me Condoleezza Rice will attract the Spanish vote?
Not Condoleezza either. We're going to have to really... I want you to put a disguised Spanish talk radio show on. I want you to get the Hispanic vote on our side. We're going to need them. We're in the minority.
Well, you're wrong about that. You're absolutely wrong about that. The Hispanics have not suddenly become the majority in America, yet everyone's acting as though suddenly we're a province of Mexico. When did that happen?
Well, I live on the border.
I'm sorry, I'm from another time. I don't press one for English. I'm not one of those who has already rolled over, you know what I'm saying? I'm still at the Alamo. I haven't lost that battle. Just because the country's been overrun by illegal aliens doesn't mean that I have to accept it. I believe that if Romney becomes president, he's going to be pressured to roll back all of these bending over for the radical immigration lobby. I beg your pardon. Illegal aliens are not permitted to vote in this country. Just because the Department of Homeland Security has catered to illegal aliens and has enforced criminality rather than deported criminality doesn't mean I agree with it. I beg your pardon. If you're registered to vote, then God bless you and vote. But if you're here illegally and you vote, you should go to prison. You should go to prison three times and be put on a DHS bus with a one-way ticket to the country you came from. I'm not going to cater to the radical La Raza. I don't care about La Raza. In fact, I despise the words La Raza. I cannot believe that he gets away with appointing Cecilia Munoz from the radical Chicano brown supremacist group La Raza, which means the race. Can you imagine if there was a white man who belonged to a group called the race put into the White House by George Bush? Can you tell me if the media would have looked the other way? For years now, this brown supremacist has been inside the Oval Office working on behalf of the Obama administration. And look how well she has done. She has made you think there's no difference between illegal aliens who've jumped the border, overrun the border, crushed the border, smashed down the fences, and those who have waited online. I am the son of an immigrant. I am the son of an immigrant, and I don't like supremacy of any kind.
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
The Egyptian government must fulfill the promise it has made to its people and to the entire world by giving its citizens the freedom to choose. Egypt's elections, including the parliamentary elections, must meet objective standards that define every free election. Opposition groups must be free to assemble and to participate and to speak to the media. Voting should occur without violence or intimidation.
Right. Our only the San Francisco treat. Right, our only the flavor can't be beat. One pan of boiling cooking.
CFR tea. Plus Rockefeller plus Illuminati plus Bilderberg plus Kissinger plus Bohemian Grove plus Federal Reserve equals Rice, Romney, Bush, Obama. Just add water. Welcome to the Savage Nation. It's that simple. Just add water. Presto, you have the same Bilderberg selection. Just add water, you have the same Kissinger selection. Just add water, you have the same Rockefeller selection. Just add water, you have the same Council on Foreign Relations selection. up to a certain point. However, were it not for the few Republicans who I deeply respect, we would be living in a South American dictatorship right now under this administration. Dare I say, the scandals that Romney will not mention, instead of defending himself against false attacks about Bain Capital, he should have been going on to the machine gun attacks against the numerous scandals surrounding the president. Guns to Mexico, Solyndra. I can go down the list. Why do I have to go down the list? He's running for the office, not me. So what I should do for you is I'm going to play clip 13 and show you the mistakes that Romney is making. He's playing defense. He's saying, oh, they're lying about me. Oh, I'm a good guy. Instead of attacking, he's defending. Listen to 13.
I'm Mitt Romney, and I approve this message.
When a president doesn't tell the truth, how can we trust him to lead? The Obama outsourcing attacks. Misleading, unfair, and untrue.
Mistake one.
There was no evidence that Mitt Romney shipped jobs
overseas.
Mistake two. Candidate Obama lied about Hillary Clinton.
So shame on you, Barack Obama.
But America expects more from a president. Obama's dishonest campaign. Another reason America has lost confidence in Barack Obama.
That's garbage. Produced by some lightweights with no experience. These are not mad men. These are sad men. You know the series on TV, Mad Men? The campaign, the ad men running this for Romney, they're sad men, not mad men. That's all. That's simple. Well, what kind of nonsense is that? That's drivel. The average guy running around, riding a subway car in New York, a bus, going to work, pushing a cart, selling a falafel, standing in a halal stand, you think he knows what they're talking about? This is absurd. You know, my strength is that I would say I'm an immigrant son. Yes, I'm proud of that because I did it all on my own, no contacts, no family money. So, okay, I should take pride in that. Two, I have had to struggle for everything I have, so I know what it's like to work. Three, I have to tell you, I walk the streets of my city, my town, my village. Wherever I go, I tend to go to town and look to people, look at people, listen to people, hear the people. I don't necessarily just turn to the internet for my view of the world. So when I just went to New York and I was there and I look at a guy sweating inside a halal stand in Manhattan in 120 degree heat inside the stand there with a charcoal stove. By the way, the pollution level from the wood fire, the charcoal stoves. How does Mr. Bloomberg, he bans soda and cigarettes, but he doesn't ban halal stands that are burning pollution all over the streets. I never saw anything like it. The selective enforcement and the myopia of the mayor there is astounding to me. But you see a guy sweating his behind off, or you get into a taxi, or you get into a car. You see the guy driving around listening to you on the radio, listening to anyone on the radio. You think he knows what that ad just said? He has no idea. The Romney campaign is all wrong. Again, it's defense, not offense. Instead of defending his reputation, he should be attacking Obama's reputation because there's so much to say. Why? Because the guy in the street doesn't have time for the subtleties. The guy in the street doesn't even understand what the Romney ad meant. The guy in the street needs to hear, Mr. President, tell us what you knew and when you knew it about running machine guns to Mexico. Mr. President, tell us what you knew and when you knew it about the 22 Navy SEALs who were killed in a Chinook helicopter. Who put them on that helicopter, Mr. Obama? Mr. Obama, tell America why you're downsizing the military while China is building up their military. Mr. Obama, tell us why you are not imposing tariffs on Chinese goods. Mr. Obama, tell us why you've sent jobs overseas. Mr. Obama, tell us why you cater to the illegal aliens from Mexico. Those are the issues. Those are some of the issues. Not I'm a good guy and I wasn't a bad guy at Bain. Crazy wrong. I pray to God that somebody in the Romney family listens to my show. I'm going to vote for the guy. I don't care who he chooses. If it's neutral rice, fine. But for God's sakes, you're talking about people who don't even know what you're talking about. So we're in trouble up to a certain extent here. And the biggest problem is that we have amateurs running the Romney campaign, in my estimation. He needs not the sad men, but the mad men. And he doesn't have any. That's the take-home message to Savage Nation. And just to show you how into rice I am, last night, instead of cooking pasta, I cooked rice. It came out very good, too, by the way. I didn't realize you could do it so easily. I made a great homemade dish. I was tired from the trip. I didn't want to go out. And my son tells me I eat too much pasta and bread. Everything I eat, he tells me, is the wrong thing. I said, get back to me when you're my age and tell me what the right diet is. I made rice. You put in 3/4 cup. You put in double the water, with a little less than a double. You bring it to a boil. You turn it down. You put the top on. While you're doing that, you get out the frying pan. No, I made it incredible. I wanted Indian food, but I didn't want to go for it. So I made my own equivalent. It was fabulous. Just unbelievable. You put in your cabbage. You cook your potato. You cook your cabbage. No, it was really good. The dog, I wouldn't give any of that. I gave him the good food. I gave him the roast beef and the turkey. I ate the leftover dreck in a frying pan with rice. I had to eat the lightweight stuff. What do you think about rice? I don't mean the recipe I just gave you. I mean the rice recipe for a vice president, the vice presidential candidate. Rice-a-roni. Would you like some comic value? We could play Nancy Pelosi. Let's have some comedy now on the Savage Nation. Here's the comedian in clip 15, Nancy Pelosi.
As you know, yesterday, once again, for the 30-something time, the Republicans tried to take away protections for patients in our country. Whether it's a little baby born with a birth defect, a child with a disability, or asthma, cancer, diabetes.
Tell us about the highway to nowhere, Nancy. Tell us about the tunnels to nowhere, Nancy. Nancy, 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 Nancy. No one believes a word you say. Nancy, Nancy, fancy Nancy. No one believes a word. But how do you feel about rice? We know that Nancy Pelosi is the shock comedian of the Democrat Party. We know they bring her out every time the Democrat Party's ratings sag. To attract attention, they bring her out to tell a little joke. What do you think about Condoleezza Rice, though? I personally think it's a mistake. I don't think she's going to draw much attention. She's not going to pull over any voters. Okay, what group is she going to bring in that wasn't going to vote? Let's start with the common sense. Okay. Tell me this. How many Hispanics are now going to vote for Romney because he chose Condoleezza Rice? Answer, zero. How many African Americans who would be considered independent or undecided are now going to jump to Romney because he picked Condoleezza Rice? Exactly 12. How many women who were not sure about who to vote are now going to vote for Romney because he picked Condoleezza Rice? I don't know. Maybe more than 15. So collectively, he gained between 25 and 47 votes if he picks Condoleezza Rice. Scientifically speaking, if he picks Condoleezza Rice, he gains between 25 and 47 actual voters for this pick, to show you how intelligent the sad men are who are advising him. Unbelievable to me. Unbelievable. Risk averse, playing it safe, going to the center is not going to work, my opinion. The vice presidential candidate, rather, needs to expand the voter base, not maintain the small center. You pick somebody who is different than you, someone who appeals to a larger group than you may, someone, if you want to put it that way, who may be a little more radical than you, someone on the fringes, someone who can excite a crowd, anybody, not just another one. Look, I'm trying to help the Romney campaign. I don't understand how they're making so many mistakes. So I will ask you to call the show today on this or any other topic on Open Mic to Mike Friday. Anything is fair game. The phone number is 1-800-449-8255. The book is Trickle Down Tyranny. I want everyone listening to the show to buy another copy and give it to a wobbler friend, a wobbler wife, a wobbler mother, a wobbler child. I want you to understand what is at stake. I will be right back.
Savage.
Now, with 90% of African Americans who typically vote for Democrats, you may wonder, or some may wonder, why a Republican would bother to campaign in the African American community and to address the NAACP. One reason, of course, is that I hope to represent all Americans of every race, creed, and sexual orientation.
Now, wait a minute. What does sexual orientation have to do with the NAACP? Does anyone... What is a creed? I know what it is. Why is he using such an antiquated word such as creed? I'm a fairly well-educated man. I've written a number of books. Creed? Creed? Creedence Clearwater Revival? What is he talking about? What is he lumping in sexual orientation and race and creed at the NAACP? Again, like all over the map. It's like, is it fresh? Yes, it's fresh frozen. That was the 70s. Now it's like green cleaners, and you get it back. It takes 2 years for the smell to... I used the green cleaner about a year ago. I had to hang it in the garage for a year. The smell wouldn't come out from the green cleaner. So I went back to the chemical cleaner. That took only 6 months for the smell to leave the clothing. If I use a regular cleaner, it's a six-monther in the garage till I can put it on my body without developing, like, eczema. Now I say, I go to a green cleaner, which uses CO2, compressed gas, everything but an evil chemical. The smell is so overwhelming. The migraines, the skin blisters. It's like mustard gas they must use on this stuff. I had to hang it in the garage. The paint on my car almost blistered from it. That's green cleaning. So, you know, you don't know what you're getting anymore. That's why you buy clothing today that you can throw in a machine with some eco-friendly detergent that has no scent whatsoever. That's all. Now, what does it have to do with Romney? If you can't figure it out, don't ask me to explain it. 1-800-449-8255. Can we move on to another topic other than rice or corn? Just add water. Obama, Bush, Romney, rice, just add water. Texas, Stephen, you're on the Savage Nation.
Yes, sir. I have to say that I think Condoleezza Rice is the political, logical choice.
Tell
I'm
us why.
I'm not here to debate what she did or whether someone thinks she was good, tepid tea, or very good. But on paper, tell me who has as much experience as she does in the trenches.
Well, you raise a good point. She has attributes. She's not a candidate that's going to attract much attention, if that's what you mean. She's kind of a neutral bureaucrat.
Well, but at the same token, she doesn't offend women.
Now, you happen to be right. I asked a woman this morning who I respect, who I consider the brightest woman in the world, who could run the country better than Obama and Romney put together. I said, and she's a conservative. I said, what do you think about Rice as a pick? She said, I think it's a good choice. I said, why? She said, because she doesn't offend women. That's exactly what she said to me.
Dr. Rice will not talk over the president.
Okay, so that's interesting. And she's not the kind of woman who women would be offended by. In other words, she's not like one of the Democrat loudmouths from Brooklyn who live in Florida. You know what I'm saying? She's not like one of those Democrat hyphenated fake names from Boca Raton, Rat's Mouth. Aptly named, by the way, the good congresswoman from that area who I believe represents Rat's Mouth for good reason. Boca Raton, Rat's Mouth. Isn't that where she's from, Miss Hyphenated? Miss Hyphenated Big Mouth, who invested in Swiss banks while attacking Romney for investing in Swiss banks? Miss Hyphen? See, that kind of woman makes everyone crazy. No one likes her. No one likes that kind of woman. The mother never liked her. The father didn't like her. So why the constituents vote for her is only because she sends out the freebies and increases, you know, the bennies to the people in the Century Village. But that's neither here nor there. The point is that Condoleezza Rice is a polite, nice academician. I don't know what else to say. Doesn't excite me at all. Establishment pick. Old line. Safe. Checked skirt Republican. Bohemian Grove. Definitely would be invited to Bohemian Grove. Definitely part of the establishment. Doesn't mean she's bad. I don't know what to say. I mean, if that's what you want, that's what you're going to get. Certainly better than the crypto Marxist in the White House. I don't even want to say crypto. I mean, to me, I didn't call him crypto. He's a naked Marxist. Openly, his policies are Marxist. Well, what do you mean crypto? Crypto means hidden. Tell me what's hidden about his Marxism. Which part of it is hidden? The man has dissolved our border with Mexico. He has granted amnesty to well over 1.2 million illegal aliens. He has used executive privilege to hide the papers that may show his direct involvement with the gun smuggling to Mexico. I mean, what more do you need to know? If Romney would only articulate these defects, you know, the election's right around the corner. You think it's like forever? No, it isn't. It's like tomorrow. It's already mid-July, late July, Friday the 13th. Here we are already. I'm not going to drive tonight. I'm waiting to midnight. I won't drive home. I'll lay in bed shaking. No, but the thing is, it's almost here. July, August, September, boom, election. The average moron doesn't even know there's an election coming in November. But you do. You do. It's tomorrow.
Seven.
Love by the Sewer Plant, First Pizza, welcome to the Savage Nation. Just let me read you an email. Came to me a few minutes ago from someone who actually knows my email address and doesn't want anything. He said, Savage, I don't know if it's the oatmeal cookie, the coffee, the banana, but I've been crying and laughing over the green cleaners, the garage, the eczema. Fun Friday show as usual. Hope you're announcing something big next week. I am. It's going to be on my website, something big next week. But it's already, you know, an hour and a half into the coffee, caffeine, banana, and the lag is hitting now. The sign curve already is on the downside, swinging into the second part of the second hour already. Now already you're going to get to the depressing side, you know, the swing job. Because if I have one more coffee right now, I'll be in the emergency room tonight after after the show. I'm not going to. I can't do another caffeine. I love the guys who can, like, sip what do you call them? I knew a guy the other day. He had six. I was in New York. I don't even want to mention who. Six espressos in the period I was with him. Two when he met me. What does that tell you about him? Two before the meeting and two during the meeting of another. Six espressos he had in one, like, six-hour period. I would be, like, off the charts. Like a fry job. Friday's beautiful. I'm still like a kid inside. To me, Friday still feels like Friday. Would you believe it? It means I'm healthy. I mean, when the plane almost went down last week, and you don't want to hear a heartbreak? Remember I told you I was on the plane coming back, a private plane, and about an hour into the flight, the masks came down, and there was a guy started to pray and this and that. I looked at the pilot. Did you miss that story when I came back yesterday? Came back on a friend's plane. Beautiful plane. Just as I got out the turkey sandwich and I said, all right, I'll take a Bex. I'm not one of these guys who needs the stewardess on the plane and his fancy meal. Who can eat? So I got the turkey sandwich and a beer. Give me a beer, I said. Just as the beer came out, I took a sip. My head started to hurt, like the compression. And I didn't know why. I thought it was the beer, so I stopped drinking. I looked forward into the cabin. They had masks on. It looked like Jimmy Stewart bombing mission in World War II. They had the masks on, the pilots. I thought they were training. So I put the beer down. I put down the sandwich. I get up from the seat. I walk forward. And I say, are you running through a test? He says, get back in your seat. Put your mask on. We have an emergency. I almost died. Run back. All the masks are dangling on the private plane. It wasn't a test. This is not a test. This is not a test. Lights are beeping. We put the masks on. There are only three of us on. Mrs. S. is crying. My son is holding her hand. I get out a prayer card. I start to pray. I felt nothing. I felt absolutely nothing other than sadness for my son. You know, my life, I figure I've led a good life already. What can I do? It's inevitable anyway. What are you going to do? I mean, one day it's going to happen. I hope I don't know it. But I felt nothing. So the thing is, I was on a Gulfstream. Exactly that model crashed today in France. Not that plane. I don't believe this. I don't believe this. G4s have never crashed. They're an incredible plane. They're a workhorse. You could rip your heart out if you take a look at that plane in France. It's like upside down. It looks like a whale that got shot. It looks like a whale sent a shot by a harpoon and rolled over and broke in half. Why? Crashed on landing in France? Go explain it. The world is in a strange place right now. Strange things are happening. Things that never would have happened, couldn't happen, won't happen, are happening to people. Everybody I know is going through something that they couldn't believe would be going on. Something's going on in the world right now. Do I know why? Everyone has something horrible going on out of nowhere right now. Even people I know are super successful are being plagued by something. And I'm worried about whether to get eco-cleaning or a regular cleaner with the clothing from the trip. Because that's, you know, there's a wisdom in that. See, there's a wisdom in that. Like, when I was growing up and I was looking for, like, the path through life, I read so widely. And one of the things I read was, like, the Zen of this, the Zen of that. And I read that the Japanese, the older Japanese, would rake sand. When the older guys, they had already had their money and they're retired. Like, one of their hobbies, they had a little garden in their backyard. They got out a rake and they raked sand. They made it like a nice pattern. All day long, they raked sand. Now, you say, like, what, are they crazy? But that's the equivalent of doing something that makes no sense in terms of productivity, but makes sense in terms of sending a harmony into your brain, right? Raking sand. And then eventually, time came, they sold little boxes with sand and a little rake for people who wanted to do that little Zen thing in their house. No one sells that anymore. Today, everyone walks around with an iPhone. You get in an elevator, and the girls immediately pull out an iPhone. I noticed the behavior. The girls, the guys, 20s, 30s, right away, get out the iPhone, start moving the finger around. It's equivalent of reaching for a cigarette. It's like Chesterfield, like opening the pack, tearing the foil, tapping it, pulling out the cigarette, getting out the lighter, same thing. But they think it's different. It's just nervous energy. They're nervous. It's a way of expressing nervousness, moving the finger around on a little device in the elevator. No one talks. Are you kidding? What if a young guy sees a woman he likes in an elevator? She already got the finger on the iPhone, and she goes home and wonders why she can't meet anybody. The guy could scream, hey, you're gorgeous. You want to go out on a date? She's got the finger on the iPhone. How could you meet anyone if you're looking at an iPhone with your ears plugged up? I say to myself as I look in as though I'm in Brobbingdang. You know what I'm saying? Brobbingdang, you know, read Brobbingdang. You know? Gulliver's Travels, Savage's Travels, green cleaners, chemical cleaners, oatmeal cookies. Teddy's not with me. Teddy's not with me. Teddy's not here. Like, I was away, so he was with the dog care person. Irene, God bless you, Irene. Right? I come back, I get Teddy first thing that night. So I'm, like, exhausted from the trip, so he's exhausted. You know dogs are big mimics. They're like Charlie Chaplin. Whatever you are, they are. He wasn't tired. He's a healthy young dog, but because I was, like, dragged out, he was tired already. I was eating a lot. For some reason, I eat a lot after a trip. God knows, he ate a lot. Normally, he doesn't like breakfast. He's not like a breakfast guy. He's just a coffee and a cigarette kind of dog, but he doesn't want to eat in the morning. I'm a standard bagel guy. I love a bagel in the morning with the fake none butter, you know that stuff? Smart Balance. And I put a tomato on it from my garden. I'm crazy about homegrown tomatoes. Oh, they're in season. Forget about it. There's nothing like the homegrown tomato. Nothing in the world. Nothing. Flavor, you know, you get them when they're red. They're all coming up now. See, there's a lot of skunks in the neighborhood because they're not stupid, man. Skunks know when the tomatoes are ripe. They're all over everyone's garden. So I like a bagel. The dog doesn't like to eat in the morning, no matter what I give him. But if I ate lunch, he wanted a big lunch. Then we lay in bed till the show, then do the show, then back in bed. Like last night after the show, I went right into the bed. Pajama bed television. Actually, I was on the phone for an hour or two with a friend and this, a lawyer, a friend. But the thing is, the dog was already asleep at 6 o'clock, 6:15, bing, asleep. All he wanted was dinner and in bed. Don't bother me, I'm tired. I had a rough week. You were away. You had a good time. You didn't take me. What do you want from me? Excuse me, I'm tired too. What do you think? I just had a good time while you were away? I was exhausted. I worked very hard. Give me another meal. I want to go to sleep. Dogs are mimics. They do what you do. Today I woke up energetic. You know, whoo, I feel great. He saw it. Right away, he snapped attention. Ate a big breakfast. Couldn't wait to go out again. Dogs are mimics. They're fantastic. But they don't have to worry about green cleaners, do they? That's the beauty. God gives them one suit and it lasts for a whole life. Their style doesn't change. Whatever suit God made for that dog, they wear for life. That's it. They don't worry about style. They don't have to go to a boutique on Upper East 76th Street. They don't go into Ralph Lauren and see if they can buy a new tie. God gave them a beautiful gray suit. That tuxedo still looks great on him. Still fits perfectly. That's why I love my dog. Today is Friday the 13th. It's the Savage Nation. I hope I've distracted you for a moment from the horrendous, horrible, disgusting news. And if you want to call me on any topic, including but not including dogs or meatball recipes, the phone number is 1-800-449-8255. MichaelSavage.com is the website. Do I have a caller that I want here? I don't know. I'm looking already. There's like they dissipated out. I could see the same blinks. The same topics. I'm sweating already from head to toe at the thought of taking one of these because I don't want to take one of these callers now because I know what's going to happen. I got high energy when I'm on the show, right? The object is to keep you listening. So I'm talking, I'm loud, I'm this, I'm sharp, I'm not sharp, but I'm talking. I got you magnified, agrified, rarefied, agoraphobic. And then you get a caller and he falls off the cliff. You know, Mike, I was telling you, I was listening to things, and then you, that's when you got to American that Pelosi, but she doesn't run Rice. Right away, half the listenership goes to another station. Meanwhile, you're listening here as a guy who's running the show. You're scratching the table. Your toes are scratching against the bottom, eating the tongue of your shoe out, waiting for the guy to make a point. And you don't want to cut him off and look like a motley crew. You don't know what to do. That's why it's tough to take a call in talk radio. You understand? People misinterpret you. They think, oh, you cut the caller off. The guy was killing the show. I'm a professional. I make you listen. They don't know how to make you listen. It's a technique. It's not just what I'm saying. I'm using all sorts of hypnotic devices on you. Voice tricks that I never learned. Sonorous tricks that I never learned. Stentorian tricks I never learned. Vocal tricks I never learned. But I'm using them because they're embedded in my DNA going back to the time of ancient Jerusalem. And that's why I say to you, callers are rough. Very, very rough indeed. So let us see now what's in the news. I'm going to get off the ecological, the eco trick. I was going to call this right after the show, the eco cleaner. I looked up a green cleaner during the I looked up a green cleaner. I love they give you a lecture. It's like everything green is a lecture, comes with a lecture. We are not business people capitalizing on the green movement. And then they give you a whole story. According to the EPA, there are two different systems that are friendly to the environment. Eco, dry clean, wet clean. And then we use CO2, which uses compressed liquid carbon dioxide with detergents. Others claim to be green, but according to the Union of Concerned Scientists, by the way, a radical group, a more radical group than the Union of Concerned Scientists doesn't exist. They're all commie nuts. Every one of them are commie nuts. It's like been 1 minute, to them it's been 1 second to midnight since 1951. They've been waiting for the bomb to go off and wipe us off the planet. That didn't work, so they were waiting for the global warming racket to wipe us off the planet. That didn't work, now they're waiting for the Mayan calendar to explode and tilt the Earth around in December. The Union of Concerned Scientists, that'll be the next thing. Give money to Al Gore so the Mayan calendar doesn't come. Make certain that you give money to the Anti-Mayan Calendar Fund and the fund, P.O. Box Al Gore. That if you send it, do you know that the Earth is about to reverse itself on its axis? But I, Al Gore, will tell you it's a terrible thing if the Earth reverses itself. You'll all fall off the planet. So I have the answer. If all of you would lose 12 pounds and stop using Chrysler products, the Earth will not tilt on its axis, but I need your help. Only you can help me, because I have real enemies, those evil Republicans, those evil coal burners, those evil oil drillers. They want the Earth to tilt on the axis. Those evil Republicans want crippled children to be more crippled. They want everybody to die. They want the Earth to tilt. So I, Nancy Pelosi, tell you, give us money to stop the Mayan calendar from coming to effect. We Democrats will prevent the December event that is predicted on National Geographic to occur any moment from not occurring. You must lose 12 pounds and sell and send $12 to Nancy Pelosi this minute. I'm counting on you. Just add water. So that was the last burst of the cookie caffeine trick. I'll be right back.
Savage.
Welcome back to the Savage Nations. I had nightmares all night last night. Before I go back to the breaking news, Obama has a campaign worker who died. We'll have to look into it in a minute here. But I had nightmares all night, and it was horrible, horrible. My ancestors were appearing. It was like a Chagall painting in my head. And here's what I woke up to this song.
Joe en Paul, last door of our knieken, brabarilla Joe en Paul, dat werd je bully krieken, brabarilla zoet, ik kool, ik giet een zolle perfect, ik vind een dapper, kuiven, door bij Joe en Paul.
I play that just to get the crypto Nazis crazy. I mean, I do. I play it just to get the crypto Nazis who think that it's all over to recognize that it's not all over. No. Who dropped dead? What is this campaign worker? I can't download. It's being slammed. Guy, what did he eat? An oatmeal cookie laced? What was it? A Russian sushi? Someone fed him. Obama campaign worker dies at Chicago headquarters developing fell ill. It's on Drudge. What is that about now? All right. Look, people, they die. Doesn't mean anything necessarily was done to him. People, every minute, can keel. It could happen to you in the middle. You're running, 30 years old, a prime of life. bang. You know that. That's life. It's all, you know, it's the Mayan calendar, man. It's the internal Mayan calendar. Isn't it? You remember the book from the early 70s, The Teachings of Don Juan? Does anyone remember that? Raise your hand. I got a lot of old hippies who listen to this show. I'm from that age, so a lot of ex-hippies who were liberals, who think they're not now, are really actually still liberal. Because the libertarianism that you think you reflect and the conservatism that you reflect is actually true liberalism. The other side, the Obama, Pelosi, that side, they're actually fascists. They're everything that you fought against as a liberal. That's why you've become a conservative. You haven't changed your politics. So in those days, there was a book, The Teachings of Don Juan, right? And it was about a Mexican curandero who said, death stalks us. Death is with us. In other words, death is always with us. Everywhere you go, there it is, sitting in a chair. I've been that way since I'm five. Since five, how you doing? How are you today? Not bad. You got gas? How come? What'd you eat? Don't know. Bad night. I killed 32 people in Oakland last night. I don't feel good. I didn't like it. How are you? Not bad. I can't get my pants clean. This is death talking to you. Try to get my pants clean. I don't know, the uniform. You gave me the red uniform. I don't know. I can't get it cleaned. I put it in an eco cleaner. Death. You have like a conversation with death every day. It stank. Look, I may be the devil, but the fact is I need clean clothes. And you can't get a cleaner today. Nah, I understand. So what'd you eat? You have something good? Yeah, I'm a bad Indian. I have gas today. I don't understand it. But the teaching of Don Juan taught us that death is with us. It's always there, right? You get used to it. Do you believe that or not? That's a big topic because something's going on in this world right now. Steven Santamaria, welcome to the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Thank you, Michael. Yeah, I'm a physician in Santa Maria, California. I've been here for probably close to 20 years, and you made a comment earlier that really struck a chord with me about how there is so much tragedy in the world, and I see it. You know, even in my own family, my wife has just finished treatment for breast cancer. She was diagnosed about 11 months ago. She's doing great, God bless her.
God.
But, you know, as I'm going through this process myself, I look around me, and I don't know a single family right now that is not having some kind of tragedy in their life. Whether it's a divorce, whether it's a loved one with cancer, whether it's an accident, as you just stated, I mean, the death is with us. It's all around us. And it seems right now in this world there is so much tragedy going on. And
I agree.
And it's hard to place
yes.
why this is happening. You know,
yeah, it's not
coming?
Obama. It's not the Republicans. There's something, there's some ill wind aboding in the air. That's all I can say. Some ill wind abodes in the air.
Patients that are 22 years old with metastatic colon cancer, young women, a 28-year-old with breast cancer.
Oh,
it is
God.
Everywhere. I live in a community that has got a lot of agriculture going on here, so we try to say, hey, maybe it's something in the air, maybe it's something
yes.
in the water.
Right.
And the physicians here in the community don't seem to think that we've got one of these foci here where there's more cases than there are around the country. But it's hard to believe that that's not happening. When I went through
I think you're right. You live in an agricultural area. Obviously, it's airs, waters, and places. You go back to the basics that Aristotle taught the world, which is that's the first thing you evaluate. Every human being should do that. You know, airs, waters, and places. The first thing you ask yourself when you don't feel good. You know, there was a story, doctor, of a kid, 12 years old, who scratched himself playing ball, got infected, went to the emergency room. They sent him home with Tylenol. He died 3 days later of sepsis because the bacteria that lived on his skin apparently got into his bloodstream. They misdiagnosed it, and the kid died. I mean, it's amazing what goes on, right?
Yeah, Streptococcus pyogenes. He had septic shock syndrome. His whole system shut down, and it was very unfortunate.
Well, I'm a hand washer, you know, and you want to hear something funny? I'm like a fanatic, obsessive hand washer. I found that a long time ago. It's a smart thing to do. As a doctor, you know that, correct?
Absolutely.
I come in my house. I take my shoes off. I will not walk around the house with dirty shoes. I had a doctor friend laugh at me 20 years ago saying, what, are you crazy? You can't bring germs in the house? I said, you're wrong. I mean, where do you think they come in? Why do you think the Japanese left their shoes outside the door? You think they're stupid? But I learned that the basics of hygiene will give you as good a shot towards good health as almost anything you can do. Fanatic hand washing, you know, et cetera. I don't want to go into it now because it sounds very crazy and paranoid, but I want to stick to the bigger picture. There's a lot of ill wind boating in the air. People I know who thought they were immune to things are getting the flack right now. Something's coming at this world. I don't know where it's from, but there's a battle going on, and I really don't understand it myself. I know that pure evil is now showing its head worldwide. Evil is appearing in everyone's life. And next week on my website, I'm going to have a very important article where you're going to get an opportunity to help me in my most colossal battle against pure evil.
7.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Audio today on the Savage Nation. Listen to Condoleezza Rice talking about needing a change in Washington.
We need a change in Washington because the essence of who we are as Americans is really at stake. And since the essence of who we are as Americans is at stake, so is the essence of what the international system will become. And don't think for a minute that if we don't lead, someone won't. And that someone might be a country that doesn't believe in free markets and free people. That would be bad for our interests. It would be bad for our values. It would be bad for prosperity and security and peace. That is why it is time for all of us, in any way that we can, to mobilize, to get our act together, to storm Washington, D.C.
Here she is in 05 talking about free elections in Egypt.
The Egyptian government must fulfill the promise it has made to its people and to the entire world by giving its citizens the freedom to choose. Egypt's elections, including the parliamentary elections, must meet objective standards that define every free election. Opposition groups must be free to assemble and to participate and to speak to the media. Voting should occur without violence or intimidation. Throughout the Middle East, the fear of free choices can no longer justify the denial of liberty. It is time to abandon the excuses that are made to avoid the hard work of democracy. Ladies and gentlemen, across the Middle East today, millions of citizens are voicing their aspirations for liberty and for democracy.
Sounds like she's wanting the Arab Spring.
The day is coming when the promise of a fully free and democratic world, once thought impossible, will also seem inevitable. The people of Egypt should be at the forefront of this great journey, just as you have led this region through the great journeys of the past. A hopeful future is within the reach of every Egyptian citizen and every man and woman in the Middle East. So together, let us choose liberty and democracy for our nations, for our children, and for our shared future.
Here is what Obama thinks about those of you who watch the news.
So, just in case some of your friends or neighbors or, you know, Uncle Jim, who's a little stubborn and been watching Fox News, and, you know, he thinks that somehow I raise taxes. Let's just be clear. We've lowered taxes for middle-class families since I came into office.
And here's Mr. Obama talking about his biggest mistake.
The mistake of my first couple of years was thinking that this job was just about getting the policy right. And that's important. But, you know, the nature of this office is also to tell a story to the American people that gives them a sense of unity and purpose and optimism, especially during tough times.
Would you like a little sound from his hometown of Chicago?
Hey!
Romney, get tougher.
I'm Mitt Romney, and I approve this message.
When a president doesn't tell the truth, how can we trust him to lead? The Obama outsourcing attacks, misleading, unfair, and untrue. There was no evidence that Mitt Romney shipped jobs overseas. Candidate Obama lied about Hillary Clinton.
So shame on you, Barack Obama.
But America expects more from a president. Obama's dishonest campaign, another reason America has lost confidence in Barack Obama.
Here is Congresswoman Barbara Lee talking about Romney insulting the NAACP. No, they insulted him.
Americans are very generous people. The NAACP invited him. He came. And in fact, he insulted the African-American community and the NAACP. And so the consequences, I think, are really very great when you look at what happened. And I think that, again, for those who did not know him, they know him now. They know his values. They know what he stands for. And they know that he would deny 7 million African-Americans health care coverage. They know that he would raise taxes on African-Americans. They know that he would really allow for the unemployment rate to increase and poverty to increase in the African-American community. African-Americans know that now as a result of Mitt Romney coming to the NAACP convention.
Well, the big news today is on the Savage Nation that I'm number two in the world in radio shows streamed on the web. The Power 50 ranked the most influential programs on the web. And Michael Savage, little old me, is number two. Number two in the world. How do you explain that? I don't exist. I write one best-selling book after another, Trickle Up Poverty, Trickle Down Tyranny. Next will be Train Tracks. And here I come out, number two in the world. Now, this is a big sample. TalkStream Live, who did the survey, sampled more than 1.2 million listeners during the first 6 months of the year to produce the Power 50 report on the 50 most influential talk show hosts on the internet and on mobile devices. Here's what they said. We are proud to report that Rush Limbaugh is number one and Michael Savage is number two, said TSL. These are the most listened to talk show hosts in the world. Savage has noted that he succeeded without appearances on major media and even Fox News. Savage says that when people listen to you online through streaming, you don't get credit for that in the traditional rating system. I've always known my audience was bigger than most people think, and this streaming radio study proves it now, he said. You get the unvarnished truth from me. The way most people think is the way I talk. Savage said that when America hears me in every major market, like Rush Limbaugh, they wouldn't know what hit them. That's it. Number two in the country. It's all on michaelsavage.com. I didn't publish it. They did. Also on michaelsavage.com for your viewing pleasure is Obama administration guts welfare reform. He will issue waivers for the federal work requirement and give people money for being bums. Romney innocent of Obama Bain attacks, says CNN. Even CNN is saying that Obama's attacks on Romney are lies. Where did the $5.8 billion go? Why no indictments, Mr. Obama? Oh, yeah? Read that story. $5.8 billion missing. Obama youth losing fervor. Youth vote enthusiasm is off by 20 points from 08. Efforts to combat drug cartels seen as racial profiling. Activists have filed complaints with Homeland Security. I wonder who activists work for. Could they work for the cartels? No. They're civil rights activists. Obama's absence was the talk of the NAACP convention. He wouldn't show up. Detective in Zimmerman case pressured to file charges. He didn't think there was enough evidence. Witnesses tell FBI George Zimmerman is no racist. Obama says, my biggest mistake was not telling a story. I don't know what story. Possible pilot shortages raises safety concerns. Will airlines hire lower caliber pilots to fill slots? Well, we hired a lower caliber president to fill a slot. Look what happened to the country. Chicago would-be suicide bomber to plead guilty. He says he was inspired by answer the following short answer question. The suicide bomber said he was inspired by A, a priest, B, a rabbi, or C, a radical Muslim cleric. If you answered all of the above, you're a psychotic. Obama's socialist designs. Michael Savage is right, says the Washington Times. Obama is a dangerous demagogue. Trickle-down tyranny is the blueprint for defeating Obama, says the conservative beacon. Boy 3 dies after doctors miss raging infection. Cut his arm playing basketball, got a scratch, died. Doctor sent him home with Tylenol. Three Americans dead in private jet crash in France. A nightmare. I was on the same exact model the other day when the oxygen masks came down. And they were. There's never been a crash, by the way, of any G4 before this. Ever. It's shocking. I don't know what happened. We'll look into it. Finally, on MichaelSavage.com, a shocker, a disgusting sick story. At Western Nevada College in Fallon, Nevada, students were required to masturbate and reveal their sex fantasies to the teacher. The professor locked the classroom door and told them they had to fill it out. All this and more on the Savage Nation website, MichaelSavage.com. All the breaking news will be discussed here. The big story today, of course, is Condi, Condi, Condi. Condi, Condi, Condi. Will she be chosen as the VP candidate? I personally don't think it's a great choice. A lot of women do. She's the front runner. Noonan is wrong again, saying it might be a brilliant choice, but she's wrong. The GOP has a crush on Condoleezza, obviously, but that doesn't mean the American people do. What if it's a Romney-Rice versus Obama-Hillary ticket? Uh-oh. Obama donor outsourced Olympic uniform manufacturing to Pittsburgh? No, to China. Gallup report says Obama versus Romney dead heat, meaning that Obama's winning because Gallup does not poll conservatives who generally don't respond to polls. Here's one for those of you in the media world. Once a social media star, a site called Digg, D-I-G-G, that was once valued at more than $160 million, is selling for the deeply discounted price of $500,000. Apparently, they were outmaneuvered by Facebook and Twitter, Inc. I guess they didn't sell soon enough. Can you believe this? Digg confirmed today that it sold its brand, website, and technology to BetaWorks. The price is a pittance for a company that raised $45 million from prominent investors, including Facebook investor Greylock Partners, LinkedIn, Inc., founder Reid Hoffman, and venture capitalist Mark Andreessen. I wonder what they feel like today. BetaWorks is acquiring a website that still has a well-known brand and sizable audience of more than 7 million visitors per month as of May, according to ComScore. Digg was once one of the most promising startups in Silicon Valley. The website was founded in 2004 as a way for consumers to put together their own collections of news and other internet content. It was just a linked-up site. But then they introduced components like having friends and followers. Well, there's a lot more to this story, and it's all on MichaelSavage.com. Wait, hang on, before I go. You know, I hate seeing my electric meter spinning around like some crazed hamster wheel. Running the AC is like watching dollar bills fly out of poorly insulated windows. It costs thousands to replace windows, but for a fraction of the cost, you can put gorgeous energy-saving solar shades over your windows from Blinds.com. Blinds.com saves my listeners and me in so many ways. They offer a huge selection of designer blinds, shades, shutters, and drapes at prices lower than Lowe's and Home Depot by posting free online how-to videos that make transforming any room in about 20 minutes very easy and by yourself. Listen, by making measuring so utterly goof-proof that even if you mismeasure, which is next to impossible, they'll remake it for free. Get free color samples, free shipping, no sales tax in most states, plus expert installers if you need one. Save an extra 20% on top brands through July 31st at Blinds.com. Blinds.com, where prices absolutely crush home improvement stores. Don't be blind. Go to Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Did you get it? Blinds.com. I'll be right back.
Savage.
Hey.
James on line six, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Dr. Savage, I've got a question for you. I need your help. I've never, ever wanted to raise a child in a split household, but it's come to that. The mom and I didn't know each other that well when she got pregnant. We tried to stick it out. We made it through the pregnancy in the first 6 months. The baby's now one, and we can't get along. We've broken up. And now I've got this baby boy, and I want to raise into a good man, but I'm only going to have him half the time. And I'm concerned about how to do that. I need some advice on how to raise a child in a split household, because I wasn't raised in one.
It's a tough question for me for several reasons. One, because I have no experience with this problem. Two, because simply by asking the question, you indicate that you don't trust the woman you had the baby with, and you're afraid she's going to associate with men that you don't like. Is that basically what you're saying?
Yeah, not so much. I won't have any control over the men with whom she associates. But for example, I refuse to fight. She brought a 6-year-old into the relationship from a former previous relationship, and I refuse to ever fight in front of the children. But she'll take that opportunity, that knowing that I won't fight back, which I'm afraid makes me look weak in front of the kids. It'll make me look weak in front of the kids because I'm backing down because I won't fight in front of them.
Well, no, I think you're doing the right thing, because children get very upset when they see parents fight. Not all of us can control ourselves as well as you. You ought to congratulate yourself for having the self-control. Self-control is not weakness, James. Don't confuse self-control with weakness. That's a big mistake. You should be proud of yourself for having that kind of constraint. But that's not the issue here. The issue is how you're going to handle this, not how the child's going to handle it. It's how you're going to, if you're going to be able to control your impulses when she, let's say, brings a guy home and your son is with them and you don't like the guy, what are you going to do then?
I don't know how I would react in that situation.
Well, here's the thing, is you've got to not react in that situation. You've got to show the same self-restraint that you have been showing with her. You know what's coming after you split up. She's going to bring guys around just to provoke you. Am I right about that?
We're always concerned about Iran engaging in destabilizing activity around the globe. But overall, my sense is that what Mr. Chavez has done over the last several years has not had a serious national security impact on us.
Hey, look, we played the clip where Obama said to a Spanish-speaking broadcast journalist this. He said, what Hugo Chavez has done has not had a serious national security impact on us. Really? Well, joining us now on the Savage Nation is Eric Stackelback with his look into what Chavez has done, and more importantly, why he is dangerous to the United States. I point all of this out in trickle-down tyranny, Eric, so welcome back to the Savage Nation.
Michael, thanks for having me. And, you know, we have a very interesting topic to talk about tonight. Really, this is a topic you and I have been discussing on the show here, Michael, for 2 years. And what I'm talking about is this Venezuela Iran axis, the relationship between Hugo Chavez's Venezuela and Khamenei's Iran, and unholy alliance in our backyard in the Western Hemisphere with its sights firmly set on the United States. Now, why we are talking about it, Michael, the big news hook this week is that President Obama, in an interview with a Latin American television network, said that he does not believe that Hugo Chavez and Venezuela present any sort of a serious national security threat. And he said that in response to a question about that Venezuela-Iran relationship. So the president basically believes that Hugo Chavez is just a buffoonish clown, a blowhard, who can be ignored and who is no threat to U.S. interests. Well, this is beyond comprehension. Either the president is willfully blind to what's going on in our backyard and what Chavez is up to, or he's hopelessly naive and ignorant, or it's a combination of both, which is probably the most likely answer, Michael. Here's the deal. Hugo Chavez, why he is such a national security threat to the U.S. number one geography. Venezuela is in our hemisphere, at our doorstep, and he has made it clear that he is an enemy of America. But look, conventionally, Venezuela's conventional forces, they can't defeat us. They're not a threat to us conventionally. The problem and the threat from Venezuela and from Chavez emanates not so much from him, but from the company he keeps. This is a man who has close alliances with avowed enemies of America, Iran, North Korea, Syria, but in particular, Iran. Chavez is dangerous to our national security interest, contrary to what the president says, because of his close brotherly relationship with Iran. And Michael, we have documented it time and time again here on the show. Look, Iran has a massive presence in Venezuela, and wherever Iran goes, Hezbollah follows. They are also there in Venezuela. And what they're doing, Michael, they're doing it in Venezuela. They're spreading their tentacles throughout Latin America through Venezuela, are the Iranians. Here are some of the things they're doing. We just discovered in the past few months that Iran is helping Venezuela develop drones. Now, I wonder why Hugo Chavez would want drones. Number two, we know from credible reports that Iran is planning to develop, to build missile bases in Venezuela. Now, why would Iran want to do that? Who would their target potentially be? Obviously, it's us. They have mid-range missiles. They're working on long-range missiles as we speak. And if Iran establishes a missile base in Venezuela at our doorstep, the U.S. mainland, in the very least Florida, and say the Panama Canal, will be in their sights. That's why they're doing it.
Why are these fascist nations working together?
Michael, this Iran-Venezuela relationship is the epitome of the unholy alliance between the hardcore left and hardcore Islamist. Look, Chavez is a committed Marxist socialist tyrant, without a doubt. Doesn't seem to have much in common with hardcore Sharia-following Islamists on the surface. But the enemy of my enemy, there it is again, is my friend. And we see the radical left and radical Islamists, Marxists and the sons of Sharia, time and time again, Michael, working lockstep. Why? Because they have a shared goal, a shared interest in destroying Judeo-Christian Western civilization. That's what binds them together. And their main target in that mission is clearly the United States, with Israel as a close second. That's what binds these unholy forces together, and that's why Chavez and the Iranians are in bed together big time. And contrary to the president's insane statement, which, by the way, I mean, it has to embolden Chavez and Ahmadinejad, right? Obama saying, oh, it's not a threat, we're not concerned about it. Doesn't that have to have the Iranians and the Venezuelans licking their chops? They're probably saying to themselves, hey, we're building missile bases, we're mining for uranium here, we're sponsoring terrorism here, we have Hezbollah training here on our soil, and Obama isn't even worried about it. He doesn't even think it's a threat at all. So we'll just merrily go along and keep building missile bases here and training terrorists and putting the U.S. in our crosshairs, while Obama either willfully ignores it or just is asleep at the wheel.
Aren't there any other nations worried about what is going on with Venezuela?
Well, look, in the Western Hemisphere, Michael, we have Colombia, which is Venezuela's neighbor to the west, is seriously concerned about Hugo Chavez and what Iran is doing there. For years, he has sponsored the FARC, F-A-R-C, narco-terrorists, drug smugglers, who have been a huge problem on Colombian soil. Chavez has sponsored these guys. He's a sponsor of not only Islamic terror, but narco-terror as well, and he's heavily involved in the transatlantic drug trade, which is a big deal, shipping cocaine from Venezuela, heroin from Venezuela to Africa, and then up into Europe. Chavez is a player in that transatlantic drug trade. This guy has his fingers in so many evil anti-American pies and plots that it makes your head spin. Yet Obama says, we're not worried about him. He's not a real national security threat. I'm not really concerned. This sends exactly the wrong message, not only to the American people, but to Chavez and Iran. It sends a message to the bad guys, Michael, that we're not being vigilant and that we have no idea what's going on in our backyard. Because for President Obama, and the way he's framed this, he's framed himself, Michael, in the run-up to the election as some fierce terror warrior because he got bin Laden. Actually, the Navy SEALs got bin Laden, but Obama says, I got bin Laden, so therefore I'm a foreign policy genius. Really, that's the linchpin that his foreign the bedrock of his foreign policy, that Osama bin Laden is dead and he's killed al-Qaeda terrorists via drone strikes in Pakistan. Hey, I'm not shedding tears if bin Laden's dead. Anyone from al-Qaeda is dead. That's a good thing. But that's a counterterrorism operation. Foreign policy is much broader than a counterterrorism operation. And while we have killed al-Qaeda leaders, and that's a great thing, in the meantime, larger threats this president has allowed to materialize. He's actually empowered in many cases, Michael, in such a dangerous way.
Well, like what?
Number one, Iran. Number two, Hezbollah. Number three, the Muslim Brotherhood. All three greater threats long-term and short-term than al-Qaeda, in my view. He's targeted al-Qaeda. That's great. But in the meantime, Iran, Hezbollah, Muslim Brotherhood are ascendant. Guys like Hugo Chavez working with these forces are ascendant. So he's focused on al-Qaeda, and he's selling the American people a bill of goods that he's got some great foreign policy, that he's some terror warrior because he's killed some al-Qaeda guys. Meanwhile, by the way, Michael, not to get too off topic here, I'm talking about al-Qaeda. Okay, we've killed leaders. We've killed bin Laden. We've killed Iraqi. That's great. They're bad guys. But little known fact, al-Qaeda actually covers more geographical ground today than it did on 9/11. From Afghanistan, Pakistan, down to Yemen, to Somalia, to North Africa, to Europe, to Sinai. Al-Qaeda is actually expanding geographically. So no, Mr. President, you haven't defeated al-Qaeda as you've been trumpeting. Al-Qaeda is near defeat. You haven't defeated them. They're actually expanding geographically, and your foreign policy is a complete and utter shambles, which is seeing Islamist regimes come to power throughout North Africa and the Middle East. But Michael, never worry, because President Obama tells us all these radical Islamists who are coming to power thanks to this so-called Arab Spring are moderate. We can deal with these guys. The Muslim Brotherhood are very reasonable men. That's what he's selling the American people. It's dangerous. If Mitt Romney has a clue, his team, his camp, could hammer Obama on foreign policy from now to Election Day. And this Venezuela comment is just the latest thing that he can use against Obama. I don't know if Romney's going to do it. If he's smart, he will do it, because Romney's focusing jobs, jobs, economy, economy. Okay, rightfully so. But look, there's such an opening here to hit Obama on foreign policy. He is endangering America. And talk about Iran and Chavez. Might I mention that Iran is still very, very close to acquiring nuclear weapons?
Well, what's next?
You know, I think, Michael, and I hate to say this, but I think the 4 months or so we have until the election, I think a lot could happen. You know, we could wake up one day. Intelligence estimates are all over the place about Iran's nuclear weapons program. We could wake up one day, turn on Fox, CNN, whatever, and see that perhaps Israel is in the process of bombing Iran's nuclear facilities. Or perhaps we'll wake up one morning and see that Iran has successfully tested a nuclear bomb. That could happen in the next 4 months. There's a possibility, a good possibility, that Israel will strike Iran's nuclear facilities in the next few months. They might hold off. They might do it after the election. Okay, but it's coming. I see no scenario, Michael, and you and I have discussed it on the show before, I see no scenario under which Israel will accept a nuclear Iran. I just can't see it. Will the U.S. do something? Look, if Iran acts first, if Iran, say, moved to shut down the Strait of Hormuz, where a fifth of the world's oil passes through, or if Iran carried out a terror attack on U.S. soil or against U.S. interest, we would be forced to respond in some way against Iran. That could happen in the next 4 months, too. A lot could happen. I don't think that Obama would hit Iran's nuclear facilities. I just don't think. Every fiber of his being is against it. Israel will. Only question is before or after the elections. That's coming. And the main thing here, we're talking about Chavez, Michael. The main reason Iran is in the Western Hemisphere, not only in Venezuela, but spreading their tentacles into Ecuador, Bolivia, Argentina, Cuba. The main reason Iran's doing that is not a coincidence. They're doing it with us in mind. They have, in Latin America, in Venezuela, they have a forward base to strike America. It's obvious. It's clear. So if things blow up, literally, in the Middle East over the next few months, and Iran wants to retaliate against America, they don't have to do it from thousands and thousands of miles away in the Middle East. They will be right in our backyard in Latin America. Makes it much easier for them to strike against American interest, whether it's on U.S. soil or, say, a U.S. embassy in Colombia or wherever, a U.S. embassy in Brazil, Argentina, maybe a Jewish target, a synagogue. They have a track record, do the Iranians, of striking Israeli targets. They blew up the Israeli embassy in Argentina in 1992 and a Jewish community center there in 1994. There's a track record here. It's dangerous. It's a real threat. It's one of the things I'm most concerned about, actually, Michael, I have to say, is Iran's presence in Latin America at our doorstep. But our president, this administration, are completely oblivious to this threat, and I'm afraid it's going to come back to bite us.
Eric Stackelback, thanks again for being on the Savage Nation.
Michael, thanks for having me as always. And you can check out my book, The Terrorist Next Door, How the Government is Deceiving You About the Islamist Threat. I talk much more about that Iran-Venezuela relationship in the book. Thanks again.
It's Rock and Roll Friday on the Savage Nation.
Up in the morning and out to school. The teacher is teaching the golden rule. American history and practical math. You study them hard and hoping to pass. Working your fingers right down to the bone. And the guy behind you won't leave you alone. Ring, ring.
I'll be right back. It's the Savage Nation.
Savage.
Robert in Virginia, welcome to the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Hi, Dr. Savage. I got married 25 years ago. I started out as a Reform Jew, got married to someone in the religious middle, and now she and my children have moved to the religious right.
So you now mean they I'm become what? Wait, hold on. Let me see if I understand. They become Orthodox Jewish or Orthodox Christian?
Jewish.
Okay, is she your wife or your ex-wife?
Wife.
So she's a Hasid?
No. Just we live, the religious lifestyle, and I'm still objecting from within, and I'm wondering for the benefit
of
the
other family. Oh, so in other words, she's keeping the Sabbath, that kind of thing in the house, and you find it odd for you as a Reform secular type of Jewish person, right?
Right, and we're living in that community, so either you're part of a community or not. So but you don't want to.
No, hold on now. This is a very, very important question, Robert, and I don't want to give it short shrift because you're calling me because you believe I have something to offer you, and I don't want to say something that could affect your family negatively. So let me begin by saying this. I think your wife is doing the right thing. She's doing what she thinks she needs to do to bring the family to closer to God and to keep the children from going astray. Wouldn't you think that that's the reason she's done this?
And that's a great benefit to my kids. I will admit that.
This question is not limited to a Reform or let's say liberal type of Jewish person with a wife who goes more fundamentalist. It's the same in a Christian relationship where the family, let's say, starts out, let's say, being lapsed Catholics. And as the marriage goes on and you have children, sometimes one or other of the family will become more devout. How do you deal with it? Robert, what exactly is it you are asking me? What part of this is troublesome to you?
Giving up his masculinity or his manhood towards his wife. And I have wondering, is it the same thing by giving up the kind of religious life you want to live and becoming more religious when you don't really want to?
In other words, you're comparing it to the Romney question with Ann stepping on his words, what I think of it as a talk show host. No, I don't think it's at all the same thing. Your wife has made a decision to become more religious. She's doing so because she wants to be closer to God. In so doing, she's going to try and keep the children away from temptation. As you know, we live in a cesspool where the Hollywood sewer pipe is ever present. It can destroy children's minds. She's trying to do the best thing for herself and the children. So where are you in discord with this?
I'm not. I've had a very good life that way. But right now I'm rushing against the Sabbath clock trying to get home.
Yeah, but what? Oh, in other words, you'd rather hang out in a bar tonight and have, like, cheese doodles or something with a couple of guys?
No, I'd rather not drive 80 miles an hour trying to get home.
Okay, so you're trying to get home in time for sundown. You don't like sticking to laws that are 5,000 years old. In other words, you like a shrimp roll once in a while, is what you're saying?
Sort of, metaphorically speaking, yeah.
Yeah, okay. You like a ham sandwich when no one's looking.
Exactly.
Well, you think God's going to punish you for having a ham sandwich or a shrimp roll? I don't know what to say. If you're a secular kind of guy and your wife's super religious, does she mind if you stray in that direction on those minor little violations of religious law?
As long as I'm not doing it in front of the children.
So, what's the problem? You go to work every day. But don't you enjoy the Sabbath dinner or you don't like being there?
No, I do. I tell you, to be able to check out for 24 hours from working your
career. Right. You empty your pockets. You turn the world off. What could be better? You're a lucky man. God has blessed you. Thank you, wife.
Savage.